Prayer and scripture of the day comes from Corinthians 4:15-16. For all things are for your sake, that grace hath spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outer man perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed. Glory, hallelujah. Day by day, we thank you, Lord. Let us be hearers and doers of your word. Let us have a love for the world, a love to save the lost and bring them to you. Amen.
Walking in sunlight out of my journey over the mountain through the deep veil, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my ways to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking. Sunlight, sunlight of love. Oh, heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You may be seated. I want to say good morning. Hopefully everybody has had a wonderful holiday season thus far, and that will continue as the days go by. Now, whether you're a member of this Franklin family or a visitor or a virtual guest, I'm grateful that you are here today, that you're with us, and grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us that would be the saints of God. I want to say thank you to those who have sent cards and prayers and certainly text my wife or called or sent flowers, all those wonderful things that we do for one another. I do appreciate it as well. She had surgery, and I do thank you for your support and know that it is heartfelt. Appreciate it. Now, shortly, I want my Bible to Luke chapter 2. We got a couple scattered scriptures through the Bible we're going to look at today, but there's a couple scriptures in Luke chapter 2. One or two that we want to look at, and maybe that'll be the verses for today's lesson. Luke chapter 2 is where we'll be going shortly. You know, one of the things that happened at the beginning of the year is that people sort of talk about what's in store for the new year. Talk about that all the time. Well, a statistic that has held true year after year after year, and statistics are not facts, but there's statistics as well. The statistic simply is that about only 45% of us make any kind of revolution for change in the new year. But of those 45% who do, only 8% at the end of the year have fulfilled their resolution. 8%. That means that 92% of those who make resolutions, they just don't keep them. Now, probably most everybody thinks about that in some kind of a way. We pondered it. And that may be in the new year that they should do something or change the way that their life is. They think about those things. Really, though, the top 10 resolutions are almost always the same. Some may be different, but for the most part, we've heard these. Things like losing weight, getting organized, spending less money, enjoying life more, staying healthy, learning something new and exciting, getting a chance to just quit smoking, helping others achieve their dreams or falling in love, even spending time with family. Some even have resolutions of retiring, and some actually do that. Now, those are the things that most everybody would come up with concerning resolutions. So let's define, if you will, a couple of things this morning before we get into the gist of the lesson. The first thing is the word resolution. You know, it's the action of solving a problem, dispute, or a contentious matter. And we all have had problems or disputes or contentious in our lives that need to be resolved. But the word means more than just that. It means to do something or not to do something. In other words, it means that we are going to be resolute. What a wonderful word that is as well, resolute. And resolute is best defined not by its definition, but by its synonyms, words like determined, purposeful, adamant, single-minded, firm, unwavering, steadfast, staunch, persistent, tenacious, unshakable, resolved. And resolved means to cause one's symptoms or condition to subside or to heal. And spiritually, that makes a lot of sense to us. It makes a lot of sense to me because we see in the Old Testament that God revealed himself as Yahweh Rapha. He says, I am Yahweh Rapha. I am the God who heals. In the New Testament, Jesus called himself the great physician, indicating that we need that as well. We need that healing, sometimes physically, but always and often spiritually we need that resolve that only God can give us. We need to come to some resolve in our lives on this day. Not just make it a resolution, but we need to come to some resolve about our spiritual condition before God. We need to do that. We need to come to that resolve before that the light goes away. Resolve is defined as something that's seen at a distance. To turn into a different form when we see things more clearly. It's to transform by any process. So people who make resolutions, listen to this, they tend to make more than one. Am I right? I don't think people just make more than one resolution when they make them, but what would happen if we made just one resolution? Just one. What if we made just one single resolution? And that resolution would be to be the person that God wants me to be. Not who I want to be. A resolution to be the person that God wants me to be, because oftentimes life is about me and what I want. Not necessarily who I want or what I want others to think about me, but to truly make the resolution that what I really want is to be the person that God wants me to be. What a resolution that would be, wouldn't it? One resolution, just make only one, to be the person that God wants me to be. Now, what would happen if we were resolute about that? If that was our New Year's resolution and then we were resolute about that, if we were determined about that, about being who God wants us to be, if we were purposeful about being who God, if we were adamant, single-minded, firm, unwavering, if we were steadfast and staunch and persistent in being who God has called us to be, if we were tenacious and unshakable, if that was our resolve, and if we cause or allow the sickness of our souls to subside and be healed, and if we truly allowed ourselves to see ourselves more clearly the way that God wants us to, what if we were transformed by that process and could see ourselves the way that God wants us to be seen? That would transform us, and we would then be in that 8% or less that not only acknowledges a commitment to God, but daily walks with God. You see, Jesus says there's only a few that's going to get to heaven. It's only a few. So if we resolve in our hearts and minds to be the person that God has called us to be, and we actually do that, we're going to be in that 8% of those people or less that actually are committed to God. Are you one of those? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old has gone, a new life has begun. And that's the kind of resolve that sees ourselves in a different way, Paul says. A process is taking place there. A change has occurred. And now it is resolved into something within us that's brand new. It's somebody that we've never ever been, someone we've never looked in the mirror and seen. It's a new resolve. It's only one resolution. And that resolution ought to be daily to be who God has called us to be. We'll resolve other things when the year ends. We want to lose all the weight we can. 3 months later. Galatians 6:14. I want you to look at that and think about what he says in Galatians 6:14. Think about what Paul says. He says, as for me, look, he said, I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I boast about. And because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. Because of the cross of Christ, my interest in this world is negated. It's been crucified with Christ. And what counts now is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. That is that we have allowed there to be a resolve in our life. Something has been resolved. Whatever it is that you've decided has been resolved. And we have been transformed into something new because a process has taken place in Christ Jesus. In Christ. And only in Christ can that process take place. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful to be free from being told by Satan that you're worthless? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be free from living life in the dark, afraid that somebody will find out about you and who you really are? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be free to live in the light without any pretense of fear or whatsoever, to be who you really are, to look at yourself for who you are and admit who you are? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be free from that? How would our life change? How would our perspective become more clear if we made one resolution? And that one resolution is to be the person that God has called us to be. And we're resolute about that, and we're resolute about it on a daily basis. And to the point that we will allow a process to occur that will transform us the way that God desires for us to be. New Year's coming. As a matter of fact, it's almost here. And I know you've got your list out. I know you've got your resolutions lined up. But if we made only one, how can we accomplish that and not be a part of the 92% that come to the end of the year and have to make that resolve all over again? All over again. You know, last year you were supposed to fix that fence because it squeaks all the time. And this morning, it's still squeaking. How do we live for God daily and not just through unkept promises? How do we live for God on a daily basis and not just through our own unkept promises? This is how we do it. The first thing is we have to know our priorities. Know your priority. It's the singular term, not priorities, because a lot of people have a lot of priorities. It's the singular term, priority. Know your priority. One single priority. Make that your resolution. Having multiple priorities is a concept that has been forced on us and actually superimposed on an ancient concept called a priori. That is one important thing. A priori, one important thing. For most of human history, the teaching was to have one priority in your life. For Christians, it has always been one priority, or it should be. It's the main thing that we're about. It's what we are about. Our main priority is about God, and it ought to be. But we multitask in our lives. And we look at God, and we look at the world. And we look at God, and we look at the world. And we feel like we can do both at the same time, just like walking down the street texting and falling in the pothole. But somehow we've transferred that to having multiple priorities. You know, it used to be that God was always first, then the church, then your family, then everything else, and you came last. That was a priority. The problem with that is that it divides you up, and there's not enough you to go around. When you think about it, how can that work in any real way? Well, I'm telling you that it can't. It can't. And so what we need is a priority. What we need is one important thing. We need one resolution. Let's twist the mirror and change the way that we've been living life all these years. When the end of the year comes and we've got a list of priorities that we want to make, a list of resolutions that we want to make, and we don't keep not one of them. But as Christians, we can keep that one important thing. We can keep that promise to God that he is our God and we are his children. We can make one resolution. And that resolution needs to be who God has called us to be. One important thing. You know, I don't know who all looks at ESPN in here. Maybe some of the women do, maybe they don't. But some of the men do, maybe some of them don't. But there's a guy on ESPN, his name is Scott Van Pelt. And several years ago, Scott Van Pelt said these words. He says, you know, one could argue that no sport is built around ritual and tradition more than football. Amen. Cherished Saturdays and Sundays in the fall are circled on all calendars, and the rest of life gets filled in around what that schedule will allow. Let me read that to you again, because it seems to be a little true, don't you think so? He says, cherished Saturdays and Sundays in the fall are circled on all those calendars, and the rest of our life revolves around what that schedule will allow. It's football first. Not church, not God. It's those who love football, come on now. It's football first, and maybe God. You know, it's saying that this could be so important in your life that we schedule everything else around it because that's our priority. We've made it our priority. And listen to me, I'm from Gramercy, and you ain't getting paid a nickel for football. Nothing. But isn't that what God says to us in his word about who we are as his children, as Christians? Isn't that what he says? Because God really gives us one priority. That is to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's our one priority. That's what God gave us. I mean, when you rose up to walk in newness of life, it was a process whereby you would come to look more and more like his son. When I read that verse, when I read about it, I see that God is so enamored with Jesus that he wants to clone him, and he wants to clone him in you and in me. He wants us to be such that when people look at us, when they look at me, when they look at you, what will they see? What will they see? What will they hear? When they look at us, what will they learn from our attitudes and gather from our life? It ought to be that which reflects Jesus Christ in you, in you. Here's the exercise. Listen to this. It's almost as if God has said, listen to me now, if you woke up today and for 24 hours Jesus Christ lived your life, listen to me now, if you woke up today and you were just put to the side for 24 hours like you put God to the side and live your own life. If Jesus was to live your life for 24 hours today, would individuals be able to see a difference? Would they be? But we think that people can see a difference in us because we make a resolution. Because we tell them what our resolution is and they look at us differently. But at the end of the year, we look at ourselves and know that we have not fulfilled that. What if Jesus lived your life for 24 hours and put you to the side? Would there be a visible difference in your life? Would there be a difference in your speech? Would you notice a difference in your attitude? Would your behavior and your lifestyle be visibly different? I tell you what they ought to see and what they ought to hear is you being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ living in me. 24 hours, just let Christ live in you for 24 hours and see if it makes a change in your life. One day. Just one. One resolution. One daily resolution. Let Christ live in me. We claim that anyway, don't we? We all claim to be Christians. We all talk about God. We all live a lifestyle. The point is, if that is my priority, it will come out in the way that I treat my wife if Christ lives in me. If that's my priority, it's going to come out in the way that I treat my family if Christ lives in me daily. It's going to come out in the way that I treat people in the church if Christ lives in me daily. Or it's going to come out in the way that I do my job, a job that I don't want to. You don't want to be there, retire. Amen? Because my priority is to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. It could be my daily resolution. It could be my one important thing. It could be my a priori. And if I'm going to do that, if I'm going to allow Jesus to live in me for just 24 hours, I'm going to have to make progress. And understand that we're not talking about perfection here. We're talking about progress. It's not about being perfect or performing flawlessly. It's not about never making a mistake. It's about making progress and daily progress. Remember I asked you about Luke chapter 2. Here's an example of making progress. Some 18 plus years is this example that's before us. Luke 2 and 52, the Bible says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit wrote that for our learning. It was recorded for our learning. If the Son of God, whom I'm trying to emulate, increased in wisdom, I need to progress in that as well. Because our minds and our intellect is a gift from God, and it's to be used. And if it's ignored, it atrophies. If it's used, it'll get stronger, and you will get stronger as well. Solomon says these words. He says, "The one who gets wisdom loves life. The one who cherishes understanding, he will soon prosper." So maybe at the end of the year, what we should ask is, what do I need to learn? Where can I make progress in my life? I can make it a point to learn some things that will help me spiritually. I can do that. Because we all need intellectual goals that challenge us. So when the end of the year approaches again, we can see some progress. Have you seen change in your life over the last year? Have you? If Christ lives in you daily, there should be a change. Should be a change. I mean, no one is perfect. And no one knows everything, even though some people think they do. You know some folks who think they do, don't you? They think they know every blessed thing. But they really don't. Really don't. What we need here is just to make some progress and increase in wisdom as Jesus did. That's what we need. It says he increased in stature as well. He increased physically. We're looking at some 18 plus years is the window we're looking in here. And the Bible is filled with scattered bits of health information. A happy soul does you good. It's like taking medicine. Not being weighed down by things in this life, it'll make you better. You ever thought about eating better? It'll make you healthier. You ever thought about getting more rest instead of burning both ends of the candle? It'll make you better. You ever thought about avoiding stress or contention? It will make you better. Maybe you have a habit that you've been ignoring. Maybe you've got that. Just put to the side. And if it's going to go away, it's not going to go away on its own. And you know that. So maybe you need to address that and stop making these superficial resolutions. Address that sin in your life. It won't go away on its own. Address it. Because that's the kind of thing that's going to make you grow. It's going to make you grow spiritually. And those other things, it can stunt your growth physically as well. Stress does it to a lot of people. It stunts their growth physically. Unhealthy eating stunts their growth physically. It does that. So increased in stature and in favor with God. And in favor with God. How amazing is that concept? We're talking about Jesus Christ here. How amazing is that concept? How can the Son of God increase spiritually? And yet God was able to say about him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus did what the Father wanted him to do. And this is what he said. He said, "I didn't come here to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." So have we. So have we. We have come to do God's will. And today, that will be my resolve, to become spiritually richer and spiritually deeper and better than I was 12 months ago. That should be my resolve. Maybe for you that begins in baptism. Maybe it should. I mean, you've been thinking about it for a long time. It's time to get off your thumbs and get that done. To be found in Christ. Because only spiritual blessings are found in Christ. You need to get that done. Stop fighting against God. Stop fighting. All year long you've been fighting against God. What kind of life is that? Maybe it's just developing some strong Christian habits. Maybe it's worshiping faithfully. It's not just coming to worship because that's traditional for the holiday season. You know, when I grew up, we only went to church on one New Year's Day, Christmas Day, Easter. Am I right? I mean, we need to understand that as Christians, we got to develop some strong habits. And we've got to worship God faithfully because this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the Lord's day, not yours and not mine. Maybe what you need is to give unselfishly. Maybe you need to read scripture more. Maybe it's carving out some time to speak to God in prayer. Maybe it's carving out some time to speak to God in prayer on a daily basis. Why? Because it's hard to have a relationship and favor with someone you don't talk to. How can we have favor with God if we don't talk to God? And he increased favor, the Bible says, Jesus did, with man. I mean, if I'm going to live holy before God, that means that I have to live right with others. Because I can't be right with God and wrong with you. I can't always ask what's wrong with you and not look at me. I can't be right with God and wrong with you. It'll never happen. We've got to increase our favor with man. 1 Peter 4:8, Peter said to the Jews of the dispersion, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins," and that even includes yours. It'll cover yours. Because more than not, if I can't get along with you, I'm wrong. I'm the one, but I can't see that. And when somebody tells me, I can't hear that. And when somebody shows me, I can't see that. Love each other deeply. Because love will cover a multitude of sins, and even mine. Thank God for that. Amen? So whatever ability that God has given you, you need to serve others with that. You need to learn to be hospitable. Maybe it's becoming a friend to someone who really needs a friend. You know somebody like that. Maybe it's finding someone who's hurting. You know somebody like that, and they have no claim to you. But you know they are hurting. So you got to go out of your way to help them. Some people won't take one step towards helping somebody else because it's going out of their way. But you want to have favor with God? God went out of his way to send his Son for us to show us the way. To show us the way. Or maybe you'll finally take the initiative to get to know somebody in this church. Let me say that again. I'm talking about a daily resolution. Maybe you'll finally take the initiative to get to know somebody in this church. Shamefully that you don't know. I mean, I like to call names out right now and ask if you know that person. But I'm not going to do that. One important thing is that we need to get to know everybody in this family. Anybody ever had a family that they didn't know somebody in? Anybody ever had five sisters and two brothers and you only knew one brother? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a family member or a friend that you really, you know, they need to come to know the Lord. So you pray about it, and after that, you become proactive. You actively help them move in the direction towards God, and you teach them. Teach them. Maybe it's just becoming an easier person to live with this year. To stop having that person that you're living with walking on eggshells, because you know full well in the last 12 months, you gave them 12 months of hell. You know you did. And you can change that. You can get to know God and have his favor and have the favor of man as well. There are too many men that got their households and everybody in their house is walking on eggshells and all you're doing is wreaking havoc and hell in your household, but you want to serve God. Is that your resolution? Is it? Oh, you got these women that the Bible says are like leaky roofs. All they do is fuss. What are you fussing about? We need to change and transform. And how do we change and transform? Luke 2:52 says that we need to increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. That's how you do it. And start that today. Start it today. I mean, turn the calendar is easy. It's easy to do that because time continues on. It won't wait for you. But there's no need to circle any particular date on that calendar. Just let your life resolve into something better than it is now. You resolve into somebody better than you are right now. That's what you do. It's imperative that you do that. Starting is so easy, isn't it? Oh, but finishing. Finishing is the hard thing. Ever had anybody ask you, are you done yet? When is the food going to be ready? Are we there yet? Finishing is the hard thing. Starting is so easy. Luke chapter 9. Verses 57 through 62. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Somebody looked at God and says, I got a resolution. Here it is. Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Isn't that a wonderful resolution? Isn't that a wonderful, one important thing? And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, you follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. He said, let me go bury my father. Jesus said, look, let the dead bury their own dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I'm coming. I'm going to follow you. But let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. How many have completed resolutions do you have? Like a brother said for me this morning, how many have completed honey-do lists do you have? How many? How many great beginnings have you had last year? Jesus has said that we've got to make sure that we don't just start things and turn back and look behind us and get distracted and take our eyes off the goal and never, ever get back to being about our primary task. that is serving in the kingdom of God, serving God and serving others without being distracted, without looking behind us, without turning back. We've got to realize that we have to seize the day. We only get one day at a time. That's all we get to work with. We've got to seize the day by realizing that you are responsible for you. Here we go. You're responsible for you. And that's not a popular concept on any calendar year, because we are a selfish lot. That's who we are. Because we live in a culture that teaches if anything bad happens, it's not your fault. You just go and you blame somebody else. You blame your parents. You blame your teachers, your professors. It's the church's fault, isn't it? And when all that runs out, just blame God. He's got big shoulders. He can take it. Just blame God. But it's certainly not your fault. It's not your fault that anything bad has ever happened to you. Listen, we've got to start with ourselves. Paul to the church in Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. He says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are nothing, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. We've got to start with ourselves. If you don't achieve what you want, it's not hard to look in that mirror. That's where it all begins. If you faint in the day of adversity, that means that you're not strong. Where's your strength? You are responsible for you. Blame is easy to assign. It's easy to give it away. You've got to come clean with yourself and with God. You've got to not only look in the mirror, you've got to stay in that mirror, come clean with yourself and with God. Only you know. You know what's in your heart. And God knows the heart of every man. We need to make that one resolution to be the person that God has called us to be. That's what we got to do. Got to make it. And we've got to seize the day by knowing that you're responsible also for your own progress. In this day and age, very few people are stuck. I mean, you know, sometimes we find ourselves in an economic frenzy. Sure we do. And we are just stuck. But that's not us. We all have the capability of making some movement in our lives. We all have the capability of making some progress in our lives. As small as it might be, we can still do it. We're not talking about perfection here. Progress is the key. Don't dwell in the past. Forget the former things, because God is renewing you day by day. It's a daily resolution. God doesn't renew us month by month or week by week, not even year by year. God renews us day. And we've got to make that commitment day by day, that Jesus Christ is going to live in us and be renewed and be refreshed and be rescued, and know that we are God's children and God is our God. Make that daily resolution. Make it. And if you do, you're going to understand again that you're being renewed by God day by day. By day. Let me say something else to you before I finish here. You're responsible for starting. Amen. You're responsible for that. Not starting 1,000 things. You're responsible for starting one thing. One thing. But times have changed so much that it's more than one thing that we start. Can you imagine starting 5 or 6 fires in 5 or 6 different places and you're going to go put them out after a little while and you forget where they are? We've got too many irons in that fire. You're responsible for starting. Listen to me. There's never an ideal time or circumstance. There's never an ideal setting to begin the work of making progress in your life. You've got to move forward. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says this: the farmer who watches the wind, waiting for all conditions to be perfect, will never sow seed. And he who looks at the clouds will never reap a harvest. Never. If you want perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Countless people live their lives in a different state every day. They live in a state called, when things get better, I'll do it. We live in a state that says, when things settle down a bit, I'll do it. We live in a state that says, when I get time, I will do it. We live in a state that says, one of those days, I will do it. And we say that and never realize that this day, today is one of those days. Today is one of those days. You might not get tomorrow. Today is one of those days, and probably would be a good time to start. Because when we're saying those things, what we mean is that we're not serious about what we intend to get started. We're not serious about it. We just saying words. They're just coming out of our mouths. Our lips are moving, and that's all it is. Our hearts are not serious about doing the things that we say we're going to do. Are our hearts serious about making a resolution for God? About being the person that God has called us to be? Your heart needs to be serious about that. It needs to be committed. Not when it settles down, I'm going to come to Christ. Not when I get the time, I'm going to pray. Not one of these days, I'm going to go and meet that brother that I don't know. Today is one of those days. Get to know God so you can have favor with God and with men. Grow in wisdom and stature. Grow spiritually. You got to know your priorities. You got to make some progress. We're not talking about perfection here. And you got to do it today. Got to do it today. To the church at Philippi, Paul said in Philippians 3, 13 through 14, he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. And we'll never get there with these earthly resolutions. They won't get us there. They won't. You could be the best cook in the world, the best teacher, the best driver, the best mother. Christ has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. So what is he saying? Paul is saying, wherever I am and whatever the circumstance is, it's a good time to make a fresh start and a new beginning. It's a good time for you to make a fresh start and a new beginning right now, today. We all need to grow in favor with God. It's a process. It doesn't just happen overnight. But you've got to get started. Got to get started. It's a daily sacrifice, not a yearly resolution. It's a daily resolution. So do it while it's called today. Here's a quote from a fellow by the name of Charles Kingsley. Here's what Charles Kingsley said. Do today's duty. Fight today's temptation. Do not weaken and distract yourself by looking forward to things you cannot see and could not understand if you saw them anyway. Here's what you shouldn't do. Don't carry into New Year the baggage you know you should take care of today. Don't bring it into the New Year. Make that daily resolution to be for God what he has called you to be. Make that daily resolution you're going to be in favor with God and with men, and that wisdom is going to be your friend. Find her and embrace her. It'll change your life. And if Jesus Christ was to live in you for just 24 hours, how would that change your life? How would it change your life? What a wonderful resolution that would be. Let him in. You can let him in right now, because his invitation is that you ought to abide in that which you have heard from the beginning, 1 John 2. And what you've heard from the beginning ought to abide in you. And you ought to abide in the Son and in the Father. And that's the promise that God has given us, eternal life. That's his invitation. Because from the beginning, John said, we've heard it. We've seen it with our eyes, and we've looked upon him, and our hands have handled him. He is the word of life. Are you going to resolve to hear God this morning? Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, are you going to resolve to believe that Jesus is the Christ? He says, because if you believe that I'm not he, you're going to die in your sins. Got to believe it. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have advocate to the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, the atonement for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the whole world. The whole world. We need to confess Jesus Christ. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. But every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One important thing. One important thing. That's all you need, just one. This is the message we've heard from the beginning. And we declare to you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ in the water of the grave of baptism cleanses us from all of our sins. Cleanses us. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. We could be renewed day by God. That's the invitation. That's the word of God. Will you commit to it? Will you resolve in your heart to be the person that God has called you to be? You can do it. Will you do it? As we stand and sing God's invitation song.
God sent his
Son. Will there be one?
They called him Jesus.
Will you come to Jesus this morning?
He came to
Today is the only day we have. We take advantage of that.
Heal and forgive. He lived and died.
Will anyone answer the gospel call of salvation today? Will you come?
To buy my pardon and empty grave is there to prove my Savior lived. Because he lived, I can face tomorrow. Be he lived.
You so well, sir.
I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Glory to his name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to his name, glory to his name, his precious name, singing glory to his name, his precious name. There to my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to his name.
Next, we'll be doing communion. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23. And it reads, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats this bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity for forgiveness, for change, the Lord. We thank you for your Son who shed his blood on the cross for us, the Lord, and had his body broken for us to have forgiveness, for us to have a chance, for a second chance at your kingdom, the Lord. The Lord, we love you. We thank you for all things. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Next, we'll be doing collection, and I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, starting at verse 1. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, starting at verse 1. "Now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian church to do. On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approved and send with them your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me." You can give up front. I believe it will be moved to the back at the end of service. Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our opportunity to give to you, the Lord. We thank you for an opportunity to have funds to be used to help our church, the Lord, to help this congregation, the Lord, to help one another. The Lord, we love you. We thank you for all things. Watch over us as we go through this week. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.